Nova. The scriptures now to the book of Psalms and to the Psalm number 1. And while you're finding that, I just want to say a word of thanks on behalf of Doris and Christine and myself to all of those of you who prayed for us, and we know that you've been praying and we know the benefit of that tonight for our help in this service. Doris, I think, made the comment, passed the comment that it's not easy, and I can assure you that it's not easy to stand here. So thank you very much for uplifting us in your prayers. The Psalm number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. We'll take a minute just to seek the Lord's help and peace. Father, we... Now, as I began to think about how that I should approach my part in this service, it being a family service, I was drawn, naturally enough, I suppose, to thoughts to do with family, my family, but your family as well. Others of you that are known to us, I've been thinking about your families as well. And with those thoughts, some questions began to form in my mind as well. Questions, maybe something like this: what is a family? What is a family? And what are the benefits of being part of a family? And what would it mean, or how would it be with me if I were to be left on the outside of the closeness, or the togetherness, or the harmony which exists in a family that are genuinely bound together by love? And how would it feel to be in a situation like that, especially if it were to be the consequence of my own actions or willfulness which would have put me there in the first place? Have you ever thought about things like that? I wonder, do you take the time to sit down and to think about your family, to think about the consequences of the way that you live your life, what effect that it might have upon your family, or how your family see you? Doris touched on some things like that tonight, and I would have to admit there was a time, not that I didn't care, but I think Doris said maybe that things just got out of control. You know, the Bible talks about how that wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And that's true. That's literally true. You don't take thought for anybody or for anything but yourself. Not really. You would claim to do that. You would say, well, I take care of my family, and I look after my family, and I provide for them. You will say, and you'll genuinely believe all of these things, and you don't really realize the effects that your behavior might be having upon your family. So you've got to ask yourself then, how would it be if you finished up outside of that family circle, knowing full well that it was your own actions and the consequence of those that brought you to the place where you eventually find yourself. Now, I know you probably never guessed just by looking at me, but I have this inclination, I suppose you would say, to delve into dictionaries now and again. I've always had some sort of a love for dictionaries, and I love to get my nose into a book like that. And it's not that I ever put anything that I found there to very good or to much use, but that's what I did in this instance. I went to a dictionary. And I found there that the word family in its purest and its truest sense is, well, it's defined like this. The dictionary says that it's a group of individuals or persons who are descended from a common ancestor. A group of individuals or persons who are descended from a common ancestor. That is that, above all else, they are all the children of one and the same father. They belong to the same father. They are of his family. Now, I suppose you would have to say that's the biological fact of the matter. And it's also a statement of irreversible common fact. Circumstances which, when once created, cannot be altered or cannot be changed. You're your father's son or daughter, and that's the way, humanly speaking, that you'll remain. No circumstances can't be altered. Maybe there are times, for example, when my family would have wanted to have somebody else for a father. Well, I hope not, but if that's the case, well, then things were what they were, and I thank the Lord that things are what they are now. There are many different families in this world, physically speaking, and many different thoughts and concerns which all of us will have from time to time and in relation to our flesh and blood families. And those of us who are parents, we'll understand that only too well. Now, that's not to say that younger people here or ours who are not parents don't have concerns. Of course they do. We all know that, and we appreciate that too. But as important and as real and as serious as those issues might be at times, it's an altogether different issue which we need to address in relation to the scriptures that we've been reading together and sharing together here tonight. And that issue is the present reality. And mind you, it is a reality of our spiritual situation as it is revealed to us in the words of this psalm that we have read together. And if we were to honestly examine ourselves, if we were just to sit down tonight and honestly examine ourselves in comparison to the characteristics of the two families, spiritual families of this world as they're described for us here in God's Word. And if we did that, what conclusion would we come to? How would we really stand in the sight and in the estimation of God if we measure ourselves against what we have read here tonight? You see, it is a biblical fact that every single one of us, as we're found here before God tonight, we belong to one or to the other of only two spiritual families which exist in the sight of God, our Creator. And this psalm very, very clearly highlights the absolute division which exists between those families in every sense. There's no kinship. There's no relationship. And even while we remain in this scene of time, in this world, there is no alike comparison between the two as far as God is concerned. It's true that these families do have a place alongside each other in this present time and in this world. We read there in the book of Matthew, the chapter 13, how that the Lord says, let both grow together. Let them grow together. Let them be together. Let them dwell together until the time of harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles. Isn't it true that there are many people in this world, plenty of people who always want to put themselves first, isn't that right? Or they want to be the one who's noticed, they want to be the one who's on top of the pile. Well, here's a situation where those people are going to be first. Gather ye together first the tares. And you know there'll be no godly company, not in a situation like this. There'll be no godly company or godly people to mix with or to mingle with on that day. You see, there can be no hiding or no pretense amongst a crowd like this. There will be absolute division on that day. Gathered together, just lumped together amongst the Christ-rejecting crowd. and cast, flung into a lost sinner's hell without pity and without redress. Do we ever really take the time to think about these things when we think about the unsaved in our families? Well, we pray for them, I know that. But do we really earnestly and sincerely take the time, day by day, to consider what is surely the most important issue? Families that are maybe standing on the precipice of hell tonight. The son or daughter, brother or sister, mother or father. And we don't have to be old to die, we know that. There's evidence last weekend. Three young people just suddenly taken out into eternity there on the roads. Young person, don't think that you have many, many years. That just might not be the case. Final, eternal separation. Husband from wife, mother from son, father from daughter. Families. Families separated. One great family saved and safe on the streets of glory, and the other, well, just eternally held fast in the agonies of God's hell. Two fathers and two families. And let me ask you just now, to which of those families, to which of those fathers do you belong? Maybe you find it hard to accept that this is actually the way that God has ordained these things to be. Maybe you just don't believe that this is the way that these things will be. Good upright people don't just end up in hell. That's a common enough opinion. You'll hear that often expressed. Just couldn't be right for that to happen, because God is a God of love. Is that what you like to believe? Well, you should remember that God says there is a way. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So you see, God does know, and the Lord does clearly see that you have your own way of seeing and of viewing these things. And the Bible does teach that anything other than complete faith and trust in God's word is counted as rebellion against and rejection of the word of God. You should remember too that God has looked and he has seen. God has seen those who don't wholeheartedly accept his word. There's a lot of religion in the world, isn't there? A lot of people who profess the name of Christ and they're quite happy to come along and sit in a church service once or twice on a Sunday. It's not a hardship for them to do that. But yet they've never wholeheartedly believed and accepted the word of God. And what we need to remember tonight, if we're in that situation, is that the Lord knows exactly what's in your heart. And the Lord asks in his word what wisdom is in them. What's the sense in that? And he says in his word, well, there's no wisdom in them at all. And at the latter end, well, they'll just be fools. And do you think is that a matter of shame for somebody like that before God to live a life of pretense like that? Come Sunday by Sunday and bring a child or bring a family to the house of God. Maybe they sit at home and send a child to the house of God and try to teach that child that that's the way that they should live and these are the things that they should do. That's double standards. That's not truth. And the Bible asks, were they ashamed? The Lord asks those in that situation, observes, he says, were they ashamed? Because that they maintain that kind of attitude. And the Lord says, nay, they were not at all ashamed. Didn't bother them any. And does the fact, as you sit in this meeting tonight unsaved, does the fact that you have never accepted Christ, knowing and hearing the truth, maybe in a meeting like this, week by week, does that not trouble you? Does that not in any way cause you any sort of a sense of regret or shame? God says, therefore, shall they fall among them that fall. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. You know, this is a real situation. It's as real as if you don't attend work, somebody sooner or later is going to say, well, you're long enough here, go your way. There are many situations like that where consequences will come your way and you'll have to take those consequences. And the Lord says to all who don't wholly and fully accept the word of the Lord, therefore shall they fall among them that fall. And if you are living in rejection of the Lord's word, then you can't presently be counted amongst the family of God. You're not in the fellowship of the family of God. That's the biblical fact. Religion's not going to change that. Religions of this world aren't going to change that. And you really should be giving the matter some very serious thought tonight. Serious thought. Because you're not sure of tomorrow. And how do you know but tonight could be the very night of your visitation by the death angel? You don't know that. This could be the very night. Maybe within the next few minutes. Think about this. You don't know. Only two families in this world. Maybe you don't accept that either. You don't accept what the Lord is saying here. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 8, just for a minute. Something there that you should see. Maybe more importantly, something there that you should pay earnest heed to. John's Gospel, chapter 8, and the verse 38. And the Lord says there, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. Two families. You see it there? Two fathers and two families. And Christian, you and I need to take very, very earnest heed of this as well. Two families who are all together separate in God's sight. But that gives rise to the question then, who is in which family? Who is in which family? Matthew chapter 17, we would read there how that the Lord says, by their fruits, Christian. You shall know them by their fruits. Not by what they say, not by what you or I would like to believe about them, but by their fruits. The Lord says you shall know them by their fruits. We need to remember as believers that the devil is a liar and he's a deceiver. He's the father of that. And his children are the children of lies and deceit. And that kind of thing will be easy for them, as easy as it is for their father. You know, no Christian is exempt from the need to maintain a realistic and a biblically based appraisal of the truth and the reality of any situation or concerning any individual, whether that individual is inside your family or in somebody else's family. We've got to be realistic about this. We have to pay attention when we see the fruits of things which are not of a godly nature, Christian. If we're not going to be honest about this, how can we pray honestly before God? We can't do that. We can't come to God off a platform of deceit. We need to be honest with ourselves. We need to be honest with the Lord. Two families. And who is in which family? Even within our homes and within our households. Problem sometimes for us to accept the obvious answer, even when we see it. Because many do make light and shallow professions. We hear that all the time, don't we? Many people make light and shallow professions. John chapter 8 and the verse 39, Abraham is our father. The Jew described himself as being of Abraham's seed. That was his way of saying that God was his father, that he was in the family of God. And these people, you would see it there, these people were prepared to argue their case as they saw it. Regardless of what the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, had said, it didn't matter to them. They were still prepared to argue their case as they saw it. Are you prepared, as you sit there tonight, to argue against the Word of God? Verse 41, Jesus said to those who did, he said, you do the deeds of your father. You're doing the deeds of one who guides you in the way that you go. And look at the reaction there. Look at the reaction to what the Lord said there. You know it stung. These were religious people he was talking to, and that stung. And you know it still stings. Still stings today. The Word of God has a way of cutting. Right through falsehood, no matter what form that falsehood comes in. And you know that's why the Word of God is hated so much. God just won't let us pretend to be what we're not. That's why his word's hated so much, and that's why the Word of God in the flesh was hated and opposed so vehemently in that situation. You've seen that reaction. We be not born of fornication. What was that? Was that an attack on Christ because of the circumstances of his earthly birth as they saw it? An attack designed to be as cutting and as hurtful and as wounding as possible. You know, Christian, the world's not going to treat you very kindly. The world's not going to treat you very kindly. And I would suggest tonight that if the world's not giving you trouble, well, there's something wrong. The world doesn't treat the Christian very kindly. But didn't the Lord say that we would have tribulation in this world? And didn't he say and promise that his grace would be sufficient for us in any situation? I believe that tonight. It's tried and tested. I've proven that. The Lord's grace is sufficient in any situation. Doesn't matter what it is. And if you're going out there in your power, you're going to lose. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you need to go right in the power of God. For when the Lord's building, then the Lord's building. Maybe it's the case that you don't really know for sure which family you're in tonight. The family of God or the family of Satan. Maybe you're not sure. That's understandable. In some ways that's understandable. But you know there is an acid test. If you look to the verse 42 there in that portion of scripture, Jesus said to those folks in that day, if God were your father, you would love me. Do you love the Word of God tonight? Do you love the Word of God? An honest answer. Does God's Word have first place in your life? In everything that you do, in every place that you go, do you love the Word of God to the exclusion, to the sensible exclusion of all other things? Do you love the Word of God? Jesus said to those folks on that day, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. And Jesus said, I honour my Father. Two fathers and two families. Let me ask the question again, to which of those families do you belong? How do you answer that question? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Are you at ease with ungodly conversation and ungodly company? Can you be at ease in a situation like that? Can you mix with ungodly company without even a twinge of alarm or conscience? Can you do that? Is the word of God and the name of God taken lightly and treated lightly, maybe even with vulgarity, maybe even as a swear word, and the kind of company that you keep, can you tolerate that with no sense of shame at all? Can you sit comfortably in company like that? See, the Bible tells us here that the truly godly man will do no such thing, but he'll flee. Think about David of old when he was in the house of temptation. He fled. Didn't hang around to see what would happen. Didn't try to fight his corner or to argue his case. He fled. David fled. And we are taught here in this psalm that the godly man takes daily delight in the word of God, because to him it's the very staff of life itself. He can't survive without it, and even if he could, he wouldn't want to. Loves the word of God. How about you? Is the Bible an open book, or is the Bible a closed book in your life? What are you living by day by day? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That man is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. What does that mean? Well, we can take a look around out there, can't we? The godly man is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. The godly man will enjoy real and lasting prosperity in everything that he does. That's God's promise. God has given his word. That man will be fruitful in everything, and he'll have good success. And he'll be well satisfied with everything that God gives to him. Whatever it is, however little, however much, he'd be satisfied with that. But not the ungodly. You see, in the estimation of God, and as we have read there tonight, that man is just as worthless as chaff. Those of you who know anything about the land and the crops on the land, you know what chaff is. It's that bit of the crop that's useless. That man is just as worthless as chaff. He's light and he's flippant in so many ways. And he has no desire whatever for the word of God in his life. Have you got a daily desire for the word of God? Driven here and there and everywhere. By even the slightest wee breeze of desire, you'll go with it, whatever it is, and wherever it takes you. But there's something you know full well tonight, if you enjoy the world. You know that every pleasure is only for a short term. You know that. You know it. Lasts maybe for a night, maybe for a weekend, or a few days at the very most. And you know that it doesn't really satisfy. You know that you have to keep going back to that again and again and again. You see, broken cisterns don't hold water. That's just the simple fact of the matter. Broken cisterns don't hold water. And you've got to go back time after time after time. Am I right in what I'm saying here? Well, as I said earlier, I know that I'm right, because I've been where you are if you are out of Christ tonight. I know how you feel. I know the way that you think. It would be my prayer that the Lord would bring you to the realization that he brought me to. And that is that sin really is only for a season, a very short season. And you know, the Bible reveals to us the utter weakness of that man when it shows that man as being often wounded by the devil. You read about this in the book of Proverbs. Often wounded by the devil and booze or any other tool that the devil cares to use. And yet that man is just like a dumb beast to the slaughter. And he says, I'll seek those ways yet again. I'll go back to that. I won't give up this way of life. Doesn't matter how I'm hurt. Doesn't matter what I have to endure. Doesn't matter about those seasons of distress or dread. Young fella, you know how it is when you wake up in the morning and you don't even know where you were the night before. I remember asking a fella in a pub one night. I knew he had been out and about the night before at some kind of a dinner or a party, whatever it was, and I asked him, did he have a good night? He said, I must have, I can't remember a thing. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And alcohol is one of the more mild drugs. There's stronger stuff out there. Faster acting stuff. Destroy you a lot quicker than the booze will. Is that what you're dabbling with? You tried it? You know, there's a judgment day coming, and without Christ you'll never survive that. That's impossible. The unrepentant sinner can never enter heaven. Not that defileth can ever enter there. Nothing of a sinful nature will ever enter heaven. John the Baptist came with a message, and the Lord Jesus Christ came with exactly the same message. Repent. Turn away from it. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's close, you know. It's close. Repent. Because the way of the ungodly is, at the end, a very short road. Not for long till you get to the end of it. And the Bible says hell from beneath is moved for thee. For thee. For you. To meet thee at thy coming. You can't change your earthly father or family, and that's a fact. But praise God, there's mercy with the Lord for all who will come to Him in repentance, genuine repentance of sin, and come to Him for forgiveness. Forgiveness for selfish, self-centered ways. Forgiveness for willfulness and rebellion, resistance to the Word of God, resistance to the claims of Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Maybe you're far from God tonight. Whether you're young or whether you're old, maybe you're far away tonight. Will He forgive you? Will He take you into the family of God if you come to Him? Jesus says, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And praise God, His word's forever true. Forever true. So why should you go on and on and on running with the devil's crowd, bearing in mind that this could be your last night? Would you not come home to the Father's house tonight? You the prodigal? Would you come home to the Father's house tonight? Surely it's time. Surely it's time. Maybe your circumstances have forced you to begin to realize that maybe the world, it does have a bit of a sting in the tail. After all, maybe you haven't been bitten too badly yet. Got a wee nip or two. You've endured a hurt or two. But you know, if you go on in the way that you're going, it's all downhill. It can only get worse. And the devil loves to see you wriggle and squirm, just like a worm that's caught on the agony of the hook, can't get away. You'll not break away by yourself. The devil's got you where he wants you tonight, and he loves to hurt. Wants to hurt, and he wants to torment you in any way that he can. And what are you doing here? Do you just fall at his feet, believing that you're in control of your own life? Are you? Are you in control of your own life? Or are you just like that dumb beast that we spoke about there, who's just following mindlessly to your own slaughter? Heed the warning, sinner. Heed the warning of the Word of God. Come to Christ. Don't leave it any longer. Come to Christ and you know when you'll be able to enjoy the true peace and contentment of God's salvation. Come to Christ then, and then you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You know there is a place for you in the Father's house and in the family of God. But never forget, there are just those two spiritual families in this world. One bound for God's heaven and the other bound for God's hell. You can't deny or you can't change the biology of your earthly family or of your earthly background. But the Lord Jesus Christ can lift you from the clutches of the Father and of the family of hell. And he can wash away that sinful background of yours in his blood. Make you fit to stand.